most of us really like to get a deal, especially when you can get something that you really want clothing-wise that doesn't cost you too much. But now the conversation surrounding fast fashion has a lot of us a lot more aware of just how unsustainable fast fashion practices are and just how much this contributes to environmental waste. So there is a big player in the fast fashion industry, Zara. We've got a few locations here in Edmonton. They are a global brand that's now created sustainability targets. So what does that mean for whether or not they're going to be able to reach them and for fast fashion as a whole? We're going to get into it right now with our guest, who's the executive director of Fashion Takes Action, Kelly Drennan. Kelly, thanks so much for making time for the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the conversation.
Fast fashion is something that I think has come up pretty often in the last few years. But just so that we're all on the same page, can you help really define what we're talking about when we're talking about fast fashion?
Sure. Well, most people think of the fashion industry having two seasons, right? We all think about our wardrobe. We think about, you know, having summer, spring, summer wardrobe and then a fall, winter wardrobe. Well, fast fashion introduced the sort of weekly style. So basically 52 seasons out of the year. And so you've got these sort of traditional fast fashion giants like Zara or like H&M that would put out hundreds of new styles every single week. However, we're now in a bit of a change. We're seeing a change in this landscape with the onset of ultra fast fashion brands. So it's even getting faster, and we're seeing more and more garments being produced by brands like Shein, who put out 6,000 roughly new styles every single day.
What? So,
Yes, that was what you heard. 6,000 styles every single day. So there's basically 100 billion garments that are being produced every single year, which is enough for 15 new garments for every person on the planet. So we're in this sort of state of overproduction and overconsumption. We are a part of the problem as well because we simply buy too much of it.
Yeah, I think consumer habits need to be something that we talk about here, right? Because I think now it's really normalized, this idea of buying so much and getting so many things in greater volume. You might think that you're saving money by getting so many cheap items, but they're not going to last a long time. So the idea of justifying it to yourself and saying, well, you're not spending a lot of money isn't really true here because you're likely just buying more, right?
Exactly. And then you also have to factor in the cost to the planet because 92 million tons of our unwanted clothing goes into the landfill globally every year. And it's 500,000 tons in Canada alone. So this has been, you know, fueled by this consumption of fast fashion, garments that are poorly made, fall apart, or they're super trendy and we only want to wear them a couple times. You know, before we're done with them.
So how is fast fashion able to keep up with demand like that? We're probably talking about really poor working conditions and really questionable labor standards.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you're talking about the ultra fast fashion category and they sell products for $3, $4, $5, you definitely know that somebody was not being paid to make those garments. It does not represent the true cost of fashion, both from the environmental perspective and from the labor perspective.
I feel like a lot of different brands come to mind when I'm thinking about fast fashion. It seems like more stores are leaning into being part of fast fashion than not. So we're talking about something that is really big to try to contain. Is one store like Zara creating some sustainability targets really going to be enough, or is that just a drop in the bucket?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a good start. I think when you have a giant like Zara setting targets, I think it sends a message to other fast fashion brands. Everybody kind of has that FOMO, right? If someone's doing it, we better be doing it too, especially if they're a competitor. So it could motivate some more brands to set the targets. But I think the targets themselves are something that could be also questionable, you know, because they're voluntary based. And until we have legislation that actually will enforce fashion companies to reduce their footprint and pay better wages, it's unlikely that we're going to actually see anything happen.
So when we're talking about Zara and this example that spurred this conversation, what exactly are they trying to do with these targets?
Well, essentially, they're trying to reduce their climate emissions, right? So at the end of the day, we're all on this path to a net zero. You know, 2050 is sort of the ultimate goal that we want to reach and keep our warming to the 1.5, below 1.5 degrees. So, you know, I think their goals are pretty broad. I mean, they look at sourcing more sustainable fabrics. And that's great, because the more sustainable the fabric is, it means, because that's where a lot of the emissions come from, is at the raw material level. So it's growing the cotton, for example, to make a cotton t-shirt, or turning oil into polyester. So those are huge, like, energy intensive processes, or that use a ton of chemicals as well. So, you know, switching to more sustainable fabrics is a great start. But at the end of the day, I think what nobody's really talking about here is, you know, we can't continue to manufacture or make and buy our way into a more sustainable industry. We actually have to seriously look at degrowth and producing less and buying less and investing in better quality pieces that are going to last, and to look at circular business models. And that is something Zara definitely is looking at as well, you know, by incorporating more recycled content into our products, by offering things like repair services or rental or re-commerce. We're starting to see a lot of brands now offering sort of a second-hand arm to their current business of selling new products. They're also now selling these second-hand ones as well.
You know, on the note of second-hand, I'm noticing that there's so much trend around consigning and so many people now leaning into it. So we're sort of at this stalemate right now, where fast fashion is still very popular and still really dominant, but then there is this kind of understanding of what that means, and this idea of wanting to pull away from it and wanting to move to a little bit more of a sustainable, recycled model. So is this generational? Are we talking about certain demographics that have leaned into this idea of consigning and recycling? So is there hope for everyone to get on board?
Yeah, I think it's sort of, it might be the demographics, it could also be geographics, right? So I think when you live in urban areas, it's a lot easier to drop off items. There's a lot of peer-to-peer reselling going on. There's a lot of thrift stores that you can, even within walking distance. So depending on where you live, definitely I think that plays a factor. I think, though, the generational thing, you know, it's interesting. I have two teenage daughters, and thrifting is a verb that's regularly used in my house. And it's exciting, right, to see them and their friends. They get so excited when they're going to spend the day at the thrift store. And really, that's what it comes down to. You really do need to invest the time. Like, I always talk to people who say, oh, well, I went thrifting, I didn't find anything. And it's like, well, how long did you spend there? And they're like, oh, about 30 minutes. Well, that's definitely not enough time. You've got to have more time to do that. And the older we are, the less time we have. So, you know, it really is an investment, and you really need to be passionate about not contributing to the whole consumption of new products, I think, in order to really invest that time into shopping secondhand.
So Zara then might be really onto something if they're trying to capitalize on a demographic that's into thrifting and that's into sustainability. Is this a risk that you think is worth taking, and do you think it's going to work?
I mean, only time's going to tell, right? And I think the more we see legislation like what's being proposed in Europe, I think that, you know, we will start seeing more and more of these brands getting ahead of this legislation. And so, you know, we will benefit too in Canada, because Zara isn't going to just make a separate collection for European customers. They're going to they're still making all of their collections. And so ultimately, we do benefit here in Canada as well from this. So like I said, I think it's a great first step. I think other brands hopefully will be inspired to follow suit. And even though they're voluntary, you know, targets, it's still something that we can be holding them accountable to, or the industry or government can be holding them accountable to one day.
Yeah, and, you know, more people aware of their own habits and maybe questioning some of their behavior. Someone texting in as we're having this conversation, Kelly, saying people need to stop the consumer lifestyle. Many have too much and they throw things away too quickly, mm-hmm. only to buy something else, and then they complain about being broke. I think it's our habits and what has become really normalized for so many of us that really needs to be addressed here. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And that's why we have a school program for young people as young as 8 years old called My Clothes, My World. We actually go into, before COVID, we went into the schools and we taught kids before they're out in the world buying things, because as a consumer, as an adult, it's really hard to change behavior. You know, we have things like retail therapy, where you have a bad day and then you want to go out and buy something to make yourself feel better. And so we hope that by teaching the next generation of consumers about this type of behavior, that hopefully on the long term, we're going to see that shift happen.
Kelly, thank you so much for your perspective on this. Really appreciate getting your insight.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Of course. Take care. That's Kelly Drennan, Executive Director of Fashion Takes Action, talking about fast fashion. Can it slow down Zara now with these new sustainability targets, trying to cut their emissions in half by 2030? So leading the charge when it comes to a real big fast fashion juggernaut trying to change the way that they do business. I'm wondering if fast fashion is something that you consider when you're purchasing clothes, or is it a problem that you think maybe you're going to deal with a little bit later on? Have you changed your habits when it comes to the way that you purchase clothing?